welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers on Audible, on iHeartRadio, Apple, Spotify, wherever you're listening to us, YouTube. It's the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian, and I'm going to turn the camera around. She's been shooting selfies, and she should. There she is, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Mark brought vodka.
Well, yes, I did bring vodka at your request.
And he brought us a surprise. You'll hear more about that later.
We'll hear about that later. We have a couple guests, one of which, now, Nicole.
Yes.
Last Wednesday, we went to see our friend, Melody, a.k.a. Queen of the Static Opera, past guest, perform downtown.
Yes.
Great show.
Awesome show.
But and then she also was performing with another fantastic band.
Yes.
And ran into a friend of mine. A friend that I can't believe you have not met.
I can't believe it either.
You travel in the same circles.
Exactly.
You have so many of the same friends.
Yeah.
You love magic.
I love magic.
Well, then you're going to love this guy. Here he is. Micah the Magician.
Hello.
He's been featured at the Magic Castle. He's been featured on Penn & Teller. He's been featured all over the place. At Stonehenge, all sorts of places.
That's right.
He is the producer of the Edgar Allan Poe Show. Micah, great to have you.
Thank you.
Great to see you. Actually, we met on this show.
Yes. Different studio many years ago when we were young, but this show.
We were young. We were
so naive, so full of life.
I was going to say young and thin, but we're thinner now than we were then.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So,
I think you're right.
It was an interesting, yes. So somebody just brought you in. They're like, oh, Micah's coming in. Our friend, the late, great Charlie Hattrick, and said, oh, I'm bringing a magician. I'm like, do I have a say in this? Okay. And then you brought it.
I had no idea I was crashing. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no. I had no idea you were coming, or else I would have researched. So
you were a surprise guest even to him.
Right.
Right, yeah.
And we're also awaiting the arrival of Aaron, who is also known as Dread Persephone, which I mispronounced on the way over here. I didn't. And we're going to talk Greek mythology. We're going to talk magic. We're going to talk all sorts of stuff. But before we talk about that, we have a same sponsor, but there's a new flavor, Nicole.
I know. It's delicious.
It's Ray's Energy Drink is our sponsor. And this is, I picked this up. Actually, they sent me some, but this is the new flavor, Juice Box.
Quite tasty.
Yeah, it's just like having a juice box. It's funny because you haven't mixed this. You have this separately. I don't know why this is, but...
it's mixed.
Oh, it is mixed. Okay. Oh, is it clear? Okay.
Yeah.
This tastes like... Well, I'm tasting it straight, so it tastes like a juice box. Does it mix well with vodka?
It mixes very well with vodka, but I've often thought that all of the Rays would mix well with vodka. I think they made the perfect vodka drink. And right now you only can get them in gyms and in certain places, but these would do a great job in the club scene. People love a good fruity drink.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, if you want a good fruity drink, this is the best. And we have a link. Don't pay full price. Don't get them at gyms. Don't get them at GNCs. Get them with our link wherever you're listening to the podcast here or on YouTube, because this is the best. And you can get Juice Box. The best part about Ray's, zero calories, zero carbs. Zero crash. And the best tasting energy drink.
And again, not to try to sell you on mixing alcohol with things, but zero calories. So it's one of the best mixers you could think of. You can make a really good sweet cocktail with none of the guilt.
Right. Well, they have other great flavors. So they just come out with ginger ale. They have Baja Blast that tastes like a Baja Lime that tastes like Baja Blast from Taco Bell.
Delicious.
And all sorts of great flavors. So I know you love magic.
I do love magic.
And we've got a magical guy. First off, I'm going to get this out of the way because I want to have fun and have laughs. But I want to dedicate the show to our friend and past guest, Joseph Fine, the goth conservative, and my cousin, Christopher, who sadly passed away recently. So are you just Micah the Magician or Micah Cover? Where are you going? I mean, I know that's your name.
Yeah, both work.
Right.
Yeah
so I'm not sure. Aaron's there. Could you get her, Nicole? We'll talk.
I don't know how to get to the front.
Okay. Well, do you want to talk to Micah and hold the camera and I'll go get it.
Okay, this is the first for me, but I can do it.
All right. No, so you've done it before, but...
I'm going to sit down. I'll sit down where you're at, so you got the same angle.
Well, talk to Micah. Get to know him.
Okay.
Hello, Nicole.
Hi, Micah. Give me a second to get
Talk to Micah. Get to know him. And talk magic. I'll be right back.
Yeah. And fun fact, I had no idea what the hell this thing was at first. I thought it was the Men in Black forgetful flash thing.
It does look like that.
It does look like that.
Yeah, it's a very small GoPro, but it's mighty.
It's a mighty GoPro.
It's a mighty GoPro.
I love it. Yes. Well, it's nice to meet you, Nicole.
It's nice to meet you. Yeah. So what is your best... I don't know if I is it was it insulting if I call it a trick? What is your best feat of magic?
It's not a trick, Nicole. It's an illusion. Yeah, I saw that episode of Arrested Development. Too. It's a classic. Yeah, I don't care as long as people are enjoying it. It doesn't really matter to me what it's called. But yeah, my favorite trick is probably the one that Dark Mark saw when he did his homework, when he saw my episode of Penn and Teller Fool Us. It was their episode and I got to be on it. It was quite an honor.
I went to a Penn and Teller show in Vegas.
Nice. Did you like it?
I did. And one thing I thought was interesting about them is they show their tricks because they hate charlatans.
Right.
They absolutely hate people that say it's real magic. It makes them so furious.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you ever show your tricks?
Yeah, well, here comes the DP. There she is. The DP's here.
Dread Persephone is here.
Hello, Dread Persephone.
Well, hold on to that question.
Yeah.
What was that question? Go ahead, Seth.
Question was, do you ever reveal the trick? And just to give Mark a little backstory, Penn and Teller reveal tricks to prove that they're actual tricks and not real magic because they hate charlatans.
Well, funny you should mention that because you know who was on Penn and Teller's Fool Me?
Yes, that's why we're discussing it.
That's exactly right.
Right, I was getting to that. Now, Aaron.
Okay, that was those of you at home. You can't see this. Dark Mark has a mighty GoPro in one hand, and he put on his earphones with the other.
Yes.
While he was also doing his taxes with his feet.
That was my magic trick.
Yeah, and I'm sorry you couldn't see that. But hopefully, you will in the director's cut.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!
Ta-da! Yeah. And by the way, here is Aaron, a.k.a. Dread Persephone. Can you pull the microphone towards you? So,
Hi.
Yes. Let me just check here. It's too late for that. But anyway, good to see you. We're just going to roll with it. Yeah. Dread Persephone, I was just going to say, we went to the Redwood.
Yeah.
Okay, Redwood Bar in downtown. And you want to have the mic a little closer to you.
Okay.
You want to have Mike a little? No, yes, the mic, yes. Okay. No, but we went to the Redwood to see our friend Melody, aka Queen of the Stack Opera, and then after her, another fabulous one-woman band, which was you.
Yes, that was me.
That was you, and I was like, wow, I was very impressed.
Yeah, people often confuse Melody and I as the same person.
Really?
Yeah. I had a friend that showed up that night, and he like walked up to her and was like, "Hey, what's up?" And she was like, "Who are you?" It was very awkward, but
because you don't look alike, and you don't sound alike.
I know, so I don't know, but like I had some friends at the show prior that we played together at. They saw her on stage, and they were like, "Oh, we thought that was you."
But I can see why, because you're a bit of a chameleon. Because every picture I see of you has a different hair color.
Oh.
And you have a different hair color today.
Yeah.
And so you are a bit of a chameleon.
I guess.
Why is that?
I don't know. Some people might say I'm dynamic.
Well, I would say that. I would say that.
I was going to say you both have pink hair right now. That's the only one. But she didn't I don't think she had pink hair for that show. I think
no, she didn't.
No, she had like burgundy hair for that show.
Yeah, now it's pink, so.
Mike and I are like, we didn't notice any of that. We don't notice people's hair. And it was one of those things. But no, I was very impressed with what I heard. And I'm very impressed with your new video. Now,
thanks.
I was such a boob because I mispronounced Persephone on
it
the
happens.
Way off air. And,
well, to be fair, it is Greek. You know, it's
Greek.
Another language.
It's all Greek to me. But but Nicole really wanted to talk Greek mythology since we got the vodka going.
All right.
Oh, sure, yeah. I don't need vodka to talk Greek mythology.
But why Dread Persephone? Why this moniker?
I don't know. I was sort of going through this. My project used to be called Knife Crime.
Oh, cool.
Oh, but, I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, right?
But and I could just jump back.
Like, I don't know.
Can you sit over here? I don't want to get knifed here on the show.
So that's the thing. I'm not really like knifey. I'm not, I don't know. It just,
no
I
knifey,
felt like,
no crimey.
Well, and it was something that was actually going on in England that was like killing people
with
knife
this.
Crimes.
Yes.
And so I didn't want to like minimize that.
There were two things. There were the random stabbings and the acid in the face.
Yeah, not into that. Yeah. So I decided to change my name. And at the time I was going through a lot of like changes myself, as I'm sure everyone can relate after 2020.
Sure.
And I was kind of going down this Greek mythology rabbit hole and also this like Jungian kind of rabbit hole where I was learning about archetypes and everything. And I really liked the story of Persephone. Like I connected with it a lot because she goes from being this, it's her transformation.
Right.
She goes from being this like maiden who's kidnapped to the dread queen of the underworld.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty badass. So
for sure.
So I decided to call it Dread Persephone.
What is your favorite myth about Persephone?
I like the Persephone myth, but yeah. I also like the one, there's one, it's Cupid and Psyche.
Yes.
She goes down into the underworld to get makeup from Persephone. So, I like that one too.
Okay, yeah.
That's good. I have to brush up on my Greek mythology. I was really into that when I was a kid.
If you want to impress the ladies, Mark, get some Greek mythology.
Well, no, if you want to impress the ladies, get some tactical soap. But speaking of somebody who presses the ladies, now, if we're going on this literary vein, when did you get into Edgar Allan Poe? Because you produced this show, and I got to tell people, I've been telling people about the show, and you really have to experience it. And I saw it at the Magic Castle a few years ago.
Yeah.
And then I saw it at this theater.
Yes.
And it was even better. It was
Thank
so
you.
Much better.
Thank you.
You had magicians, you had opera singers, you had cellists.
Yeah.
You had not only Edgar Allan Poe, but his wife. You had all sorts of things.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was amazing. It was one of the best nights out I've ever had.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that means the world. Thank you.
Right.
I mean,
it was
that.
Really good the first time, and I was like, wow, this is like mind-blowing the second time.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That was a particularly good lineup, and thank you right. for being there. It really meant a lot. And yeah, we do it every year, and hopefully you can come back.
I hope so too. Now, when did you start getting into Edgar Allan Poe?
Oh man. The name Dread Persephone was already taken, so I had to find something else.
Right.
Dread Persephone. It just didn't work. So I was like, what can I do instead? But I was experimenting with the possibility of a straitjacket escape, which most magicians think about sometime in their career.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well,
so that's like a comedian with dick jokes. Everybody's experimenting
right.
every once in a while.
That's right. Airplane jokes.
Right.
Yes. And women be shopping. That's
right,
what
right.
all comedians
Why do women go shopping? Why do they like that?
Who
what
are
is
these
what
people?
These people?
Yeah. Oh, you should be a comedian.
Yeah. So, why do you always lose one sock in the laundry? Yeah, I know how that goes.
Wow.
Where does that sock go? I don't know. But yeah. So
yes.
But so every
a lot of magicians think
about straitjacket.
Like yeah, because it's an homage to Houdini, which
right.
is Nicole knows what I'm talking about. But
I think we all do.
Yeah,
even I know that.
Yeah, fair enough.
And not only that, I know that you performed that on A Thousand Ways to Die.
Yeah, I was interviewed on their Houdini episode.
Right,
that's right.
Yeah, right.
So cool.
Yeah, thank you. And that was one of the reasons, because they knew that I had this connection with him.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing I was thinking about.
Wait, back up. Does it go beyond the straitjacket, or do you have another connection with Houdini? I mean, is there like a psychic connection? Is there like a?
I knew you were going to ask me that. no, it's just, I'll...
Well, I tapped. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, right. Yes.
I mean, Houdini would take offense to that because, like Penn and Teller, Houdini also hated charlatans.
Yeah, he Correct. Hated like spiritualism. Yeah.
He hated all spiritualism. He hated all real magic.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
He always went out of his way to disprove it.
Right. Now, on the flip side, he did keep an open mind. And one of the reasons why he kept disproving it was because he was looking for the real thing.
Right.
And he kept not finding it. So, they're two sides of the same coin. It was really weird.
I don't know if this is true. Some troll on the internet told me this because I was talking about, I asked people if they believed in the supernatural. And they're like, well, Houdini said that he would do his best after death to contact the living. And if he didn't get through, then there was no proof. Then there's no proof there's an afterlife. Did that actually happen?
There is a lot of truth to that. He made a pact with his wife, Bess, and he said, if there's any truth to any of this crap, we're going to agree on a code right now.
Okay.
And if you hear this code, they also made this pact that whoever died, the surviving spouse would conduct a seance on the anniversary of the dead spouse's death for the next 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Harry Houdini dies, in my opinion, under crazy mysterious circumstances on Halloween of all
oh,
day,
wow.
right?
Wow.
So yeah, so and it sounds like you know a lot of this already. So his widow Bess not only has to conduct a seance for the next 10 years of her life, she also has
on
to do it on Halloween.
The veil is most thin.
Exactly. And she, there was a time where she claimed she did hear the code word. But then later she retracted. It turned out to be a hoax.
Okay.
And she was actually a part of it. But then after the 10 years, she did admit she never heard the code.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
are you maybe inferring that he faked his own death?
He's living on the moon with Elvis.
And Andy Kaufman.
And Andy Kaufman. Yes. Yeah. That'd be a hell of a show.
Right.
Elvis and Houdini and Andy Kaufman.
I'd pay to see that.
That's on the moon. Writing itself, you guys.
Yeah. That actually might be even be better than your Edgar Allan Poe show. Slightly.
Thanks.
No, but does every magician want to do a straitjacket act? Because I've seen yours, and it's great.
Oh, thank you. Well, what I mean is every magician thinks about some kind of homage to Houdini. There's no way to escape it, if you will, because he was one of the reasons why so many of us are here. Mm-hmm. So a lot of magicians at least consider an escape of some kind, and the straitjacket probably is most iconic.
Mm-hmm.
He made so many of them famous, but the straitjacket, that's something that we can all literally get our hands on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can't get our hands on some of the other contraptions that he created for his career, but
Right. Most
of us could get our hands on a straitjacket. Everybody knows what a straitjacket is.
Mm-hmm.
And then to answer your question, the other thing I thought about was, well, why is he trying, is this person, me, the character, whatever, why is this person trying to get out of a straitjacket? And it made me think of someone who was trapped, which made me think of the poem, The Raven, because the narrator is in a similar situation. So I combined the two. That inspired the show that you were kind enough to come see, and I hope you do again, man.
Yeah, and that's the finale, is you in a straitjacket reciting The Raven.
Correct, yeah.
Now, does that add a little extra, does that make it tougher?
Yes. There was a time when I would recite the poem in its entirety, which runs of around 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But then I would try, as you probably observed, I try to book as many acts as possible.
Right.
So I just abridge the hell out of it,
Right. Which
does make my job a little easier.
Yeah.
But I still want to.
No, you never booked Aaron or me, but that's okay. Yeah, it's okay.
Well, you were on a date and I didn't want to.
I know.
It was a whole thing.
Yeah.
But no, I'd love to have you. I'd love to have DP.
No, I'm not fishing. I just kidding. Don't worry about it.
Well, since I blew it on the whole Andy Kaufman, Elvis, Houdini on the moon thing, I might as well. But
and some might actually say that all magicians should be in straitjackets.
Well, there's a lot to be said for that. You got to be kind of crazy to be a performance artist. I think some people in this room might know what I'm talking about.
I think everybody in this room knows what you're talking about.
I think everybody who's listening to us right now knows what I'm talking about.
And here's the thing. The society is becoming increasingly narcissistic. Everybody's gone crazy. Everybody wants attention, and everybody wants to be on stage.
I think it's because of technology.
Yeah.
Probably because of the internet.
It makes you feel like a star, even when you're not a star.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody wants to be on a damn podcast, if you can believe it.
I know.
I gotta ask. Yeah. Penn and Teller don't like magic. Houdini doesn't like magic. Where do you stand? Do you believe in real magic, or do you know too much about what happens behind the curtain?
That's an excellent question. That's a very good question. And we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
On the flip side, Houdini was he did keep an open mind.
Yes.
And I'm kind of the same. As you say, there's always a secret behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And yet maybe there's something behind that secret. So I do keep an open mind.
When I came to my beliefs in the supernatural, I simply believe that they're just sciences we haven't discovered yet. I think most things that are magic are things that'll be explained when we have the proper science for them.
That is a fantastic definition of magic and science. In a lot of examples, magic is just science, as you say, that we haven't discovered yet.
Yep.
Even science proves that, like cryptozoology. There are all kinds of examples where we discover a species we didn't even know existed before.
There's this crazy spider that's like huge and pink and lives in Australia.
Yeah, exactly.
They all live in Australia.
My ex-girlfriend's from Australia. That makes sense.
Oh, okay.
That all checks out.
I think I've dated her.
Cryptozoology.
Yes, that is the...
Is that like cryptocurrency? I mean, what is that?
No one knows, but it is the title of Dread Persephone's next album.
Right. Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be a surprise.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Cryptozoology.
I gotta change it now.
Mike is the master of segues. Dread, Aaron, what do you want me to call you?
You can call me Aaron.
Aaron, thank you, Aaron. I was going to go with Dread, but that's okay. Why a one woman band? I mean, that's have you been in bands before?
I've never been in a band. No.
Okay. You've always done it by yourself.
Yeah, I started making music like a few years ago, and it was all very DIY, like bedroom type of thing. And And I'm open to the idea of having a band. It just hasn't really gotten to that point yet.
Right.
And what do you think a band would add to your act? How would you use them?
I would love to have a band, honestly. Like, I would love to have, like, someone on drums and someone playing the bass.
So you can hear it in your head.
Yeah. But it just hasn't gotten there yet. And also, I really wanted to, like, when I first started performing, it was, like, a huge mental block I had to get over. Because it was, like... It was like my brain was going in two different directions where it was like, look at me, but don't.
Right.
You know? So I had to like really just get comfortable in my own deal. And I feel like if I had started a band without being comfortable in my own deal first, then it probably wouldn't have worked out right. But now I'm open to having a band.
Well, you're definitely into your own deal. I mean, I was very impressed with what I saw.
Oh, thank you.
I was noticing because I was looking. You don't have a lot of stuff out, and you don't have a big online presence. So I kind of tried to research what I could.
I'm still building.
You're in your embryonic phase.
I'm definitely in my embryonic phase. Yeah.
But what are your goals? Like, what is the next step for you?
I would like to put out an EP and keep exploring like music videos and stuff, but I'm mostly just taking it one day at a time.
Right.
I'm just sort of following what feels good, but also trying to be like grounded and, you know, so I'm spending a lot of time like building skills. Like I go to school and I'm learning like audio engineering and
that's awesome.
Yeah. So like, I really like music a lot. So I decided to go back to school and get my education in it. And, so I'm just building.
But you like the technical aspect of it.
I do. I really like music and technology. Mm-hmm. I have like a hobby where I build these like DIY breadboard synthesizer circuits.
Really?
Yeah. I made a little synthesizer circuit with an oscillator, and it usually connects to like a potentiometer, right? Where you like.
Oh, one of those. Yeah, I love those.
But you take the Well, if you take the ends of the wires that would normally go into the potentiometer and stick them into either side of a grape, it sounds like the grape is in a terrible amount of pain.
Oh, wow.
Into a grape.
I guess the acid inside the grape juice carries the current.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know, like, the physics, like, super well, but I know that, like, acidic things tend to work. In electronics, like if you can make like a battery out of an orange,
that could be a new name for your.
Right, I was gonna say
grape torture.
The physics of grapes.
No, it's very Dionysian.
Right.
Mythology.
Yeah.
No. We got it. It didn't swing by us. I mean, everything else you said, I glazed over. I'm like, what? Except for whee, I got that.
Okay, we got that part.
Because when I was in high school, my friend had a synthesizer and had like one of those pitch benders. So that's all we would do is just like whee.
So the knob that you turn is called a potentiometer.
Right.
So you just replace the knob with a grape.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm assuming you've been influenced by one person bands, you know, Nine Inch Nails, Prince, people like that did everything themselves or not.
No, I'm actually like, I'm really into Nick Cave and Tom Waits.
Right.
Those are like big ones for me. But you know who really inspires me right now? There's a woman. Her name's Tara Bush, and she does a project called I Speak Machine.
Okay.
And I love everything about it.
Right.
Yeah, she's playing soon, so I'm going to go see it.
That's great. Awesome. Well, yeah, we got to book her on the show. But I was going to say, but you were into these are real like band guys. Tom Waits, singer songwriter.
Yeah, I really like the storytelling aspect of songwriting.
But like, your music's really like, so technological.
Yeah, I mean, I like the tech side of things, but also like the writing side of it. Actually, like, it's sort of like spooky what happens, because there's songs that I've written where I think it's about something like kind of shallow or on the surface, and then after some time, after I get it out of my brain and then like, you know, let it process in the background, I'll revisit the lyrics and it'll be about something totally like way deeper. I even have one where it was like I didn't realize it when I wrote it, but I'm having a conversation with something or someone or some part of myself that I wasn't like directly like connected to.
Renegade CBD.
I'm so excited about it. We were teasing it for so long and you couldn't get anything done with it.
And you got samples.
I did get samples. Yeah. By the way, that was actually Charlie. I had just turned my phone off so that I wouldn't get interrupted. And he was like talking about how it's going to be really exciting around here with the new CBD line. So
yes. Well, I saw the website, and not only is the CBD great and Nicole can attest to it.
It's delicious, too.
Well, because they have gummies and they have white chocolate. Lest people think you're eating the plants. They have gummies and white chocolate and other things.
And the gummies, they use an actual confectionist. Mm-hmm. Charlie was very proud of this. This person genuinely makes candy for a living.
Right.
So that's why they taste so darn good.
Right.
But you got to be careful with that because you can eat too many.
That's true. Don't eat too much. But I sound like somebody's mother. But also, Renegade CBD, if you've gone on their website, very affordable.
Yes.
A lot more affordable than the CBD I get around
here.
It's
so easy to use. I looked at it today and I'm like, man, this website's really structured and convenient.
And it's Charlie Renegade. I was surprised myself. Anyway, renegadecbd.com for all your CBD needs.
You ever feel like amazed that you wrote that? Because I feel that every time I write.
Yeah. I really love writing.
Yeah.
I didn't really think I liked writing.
Well, what's a lyric that you were amazed that you wrote?
Let me think. If love was the drug, why aren't we cured?
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's very good.
That is good.
Thank you.
That is good. Well, because it's an addiction, and it's, I could answer that. But how did you meet Micah? Because I was so surprised when I went to see the show, and Micah's there. He's like, "Oh, what are you doing?" We were like, "What are you doing here?" And how do you guys know each other?
We met at a show that we were both performing at.
So oh, okay.
We have a mutual friend who puts on like a monthly. It's called Goth Adjacent. It's
the Harvard and Stone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we met them.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah. You should do that.
I want to do that. I haven't swung. I live right around the corner too.
Yeah,
I haven't swung by. Yeah. So I will do it one of these. The next time they have it.
From Harvard and Stone. It's not Harvard and Stone anymore.
Oh, where's that?
I don't remember the name of the venue, but it's in East LA. I'll have to like send you an update.
And there's actually thousands of people listening. We live nowhere near that place.
No, but
I don't. You can't find my house anywhere close by.
But it makes sense because then you get the Cholo Goth crowd.
Yeah, I mean the place has parking. I think that was the
well. That's good. In East LA, that's not always. They have parking. You may not have your car afterwards, but it will be parked at some point. But
it is a very cool venue.
No, I'm kidding.
Got,
of course,
it's got like a great sound system, and it's really big, and it's got parking. It's
well, that's cool. That's the thing about LA that a lot of people don't know is that Compton, East LA, Watts, they're nice parts of those places.
Yeah, yeah. My friend has a $1.2 million house in Inglewood.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Yeah, okay. It's nice. It used to belong to a Laker.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm surprised. I keep saying this. I'm surprised you never met Micah. Because, our friend, best friend, probably Micah's best friend, Ruth, Ruru the Clown, who will be on the show. Every time I say Micah, you think I'm thinking Michael Vile, the magician.
But I know the difference. There's a Michael and a Micah.
Right. And we know Wacko. And, so many magicians. And so I'm glad you finally – and I know you guys – have tons of mutual friends. So, but Micah, now, when did you, who was the first magician that got you inspired?
Oh my, well, it was probably Houdini when I was a kid, just studying about him.
Right.
But,
what was it about Houdini that inspired you?
Well, just the fact that he could escape from anything. That's cool. Yeah, it is cool. He was an immigrant and he still wanted to escape and he became rich. In many ways, it's kind of the American dream. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Most people want a similar path, but he made it happen.
Right.
Through magic. Mm-hmm. It's literally miraculous what he did.
Yeah. Right. You know? I mean, and
who's the next best to Houdini?
Other than me, you're saying?
Yeah. There's Houdini, there's Micah.
So this is right, yeah.
All right.
Well done.
you step in that way, Nicole. That's the honest. Right.
Well, you have a magician on your show right now, Nicole.
Yes.
That's a great question.
I mean, as far as influences go, obviously.
Oh, there's a wonderful magician out of Vegas named Jeff McBride, who's a mentor to me.
Okay.
I attend his classes literally every week.
That's awesome.
So you still take classes?
All the time.
Okay.
ABL, always be learning.
Mm-hmm.
You never stop. There's, it's kind of like what you were referring to, Nicole. There's always another secret.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which could be magic to someone. It could be magic to you. So you never know what you're going to discover. So you always keep learning.
Well, go ahead, Nicole.
I'm sorry. I'm talking more than I usually do on this show.
Yeah, you usually don't talk at all, but go ahead. Yeah.
No, this is great.
I don't know if you can tell me this, so you don't have to if it's a trade secret, but I've noticed levitation is a thing.
Well, it's a big thing with Micah.
Do you use levitation or things? What can you tell us about that? Because I know there has to be a secret to it. I don't want you to reveal it. But, like, so I was at a party on the Sunday, and the card that I had, because I understand there's mentalism. They had somehow figured out what card I would see or choose with my mind.
Okay.
And they made it levitate out of the deck.
Nice.
And I don't know how they make things rise. I had a friend who would take a lifesaver.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would make the lifesaver rise.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he would eat it. So you know they had a string on it. I don't know how they do the levitation.
Yeah.
I mean, there has to be an answer there. I know it's not real magic.
Can you tell us the secret of levitation?
You don't have to tell us the secret, but tell us what you want to tell us about levitation and what it means to you.
It's magic. Yeah. It's real magic. I don't do all of those things, but I have done similar things. There was one time, and I could only get it to work once, but I was officiating a wedding, and the groom took the ring, spun it in midair, and just pushed it with his mind, and it kept spinning and finally landed on
her. That is amazing.
Right. I've never been able to make that happen again. But it is.
Every woman at that wedding swooned.
Yes. Yes.
I want to marry that guy.
Right? No kidding.
Yeah.
Yes. Jedi weddings? Yeah. That is like Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah. I was for a day. Deputized for a day.
Well, I did that too.
I
actually officiated Rodney Eastman's wedding, who was in Nightmare on Elm Street 3 and 4.
Oh my
God. So we were at a horror convention.
Yeah.
So I was the wedding official, and everybody there was from Nightmare on Elm Street 3 or 4. So it was all the Dream Warriors and the Dream Master. But that's not as cool as levitating a ring and putting it on the bride's
that
finger.
That is like in Star Wars.
Yeah, that's a serious flex.
When Anakin is flirting with Padme and he sends her the hair across the table. That's what I'm thinking of. I'm like, that is so romantic. Girls would love that.
Except this wasn't a shitty movie. This is real life. But Mike, I know that speaking of levitation, and I know we're tiptoeing on this because I know you're not going to reveal the secret. But let me ask you this. How difficult it is to juggle blindfolded while in a wind tunnel?
Pretty difficult. Yeah.
Because juggling is tough enough.
Right.
And then how do you learn how to juggle blindfolded?
You just hope it works. And you drop a lot and you don't share the edits on social media.
Yes. And now you're in a wind tunnel. Now you don't even have that base.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
And,
iFlies allowed me to do some interesting things in there.
Right. It's because and this was in your Penn and Teller, but I've seen this on your social media a lot. You do a lot of wind tunnel, you just like being fly. You just like to fly.
I do. Yeah. Why not levitate yourself?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I do like to fly. So I do iFly whenever I can afford it. And I train at Sky Zone every week.
That's cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, Mike has got such an interesting life.
Oh, yeah. Mike is one of the most interesting people I know.
Yeah. Sure. Well, that makes two of us.
Yeah.
And you are one of the most interesting people. Now, if
segue.
I can...
Segway.
Okay. I like to go back and forth. So, yeah, no, but I was going to say, now, are you aware of the Dread Persephone that's banned in England?
No.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Dread Persephone in England?
Yeah, I hate to break it to you.
All right, what do you guys think? Should I change my name?
No.
Well, they pronounce it
absolutely not.
So you're okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Because first off, you know, there's a lot of bands that do that. The so they have to change their name, like the Mission UK, to Dread Persephone UK.
So, here we go. I like this.
But I was looking at YouTube and I was like, oh, okay, there's a lot of stuff and there's like a bunch of like a bad band in England. But I hate to break that to you, but I was gonna say you did a residency at the Doll Hut in Anaheim.
I did, yeah.
Which is weird because the Doll Hut is like punk rock.
It is.
I played the Doll Hut. Have you ever played the Doll Hut?
No.
Yeah, but Doll Hut is like a graffiti punk place where it's all hardcore bands. And how did you get the residency there?
I just got in touch with the guy who runs it, and he offered me a residency. It was just like as simple as that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like my first time getting back on stage after taking a long break.
How long?
Like over a year.
Right.
Oh,
because of the pandemic.
And then I was dealing with some health stuff. So, you know, I took a break and then I decided to get back out there and get back on the horse.
Right.
And the Doll Hut was one of my first things that I did.
Right.
How was your experience there?
It was, it's a very punk rock bar.
Yeah.
Now, were you performing with a lot of other punk rock bands, or you were doing...
No, so I was performing with, I did perform with a couple of bands, Stony Sugar Skull and a band called No Service, mm-hmm. and they were like rock and roll bands.
Right.
And there was only one other like sort of electronic
mm-hmm.
Act, and that's Kim Curtins. He played, and...
I think I know Kim Curtins.
Yeah, you know.
Because I think he might have played when I did the Doll Hut.
Oh, yeah?
Because I did a show at the Doll Hut, and yeah, they had a lot of weird, like one band was rockabilly, one mm-hmm. band was punk, one band was metal. Yeah. They had like a metal band where it was like a bunch of like 19-year-olds, and their father was like 45. But,
yeah. I don't know if the Doll Hut, let me just say, I really liked playing the Doll Hut.
The Doll Hut's always fun.
I had a great time. I don't know if the Doll Hut, it really lends itself well to the kind of thing that I'm doing.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
Yeah, like, I would go back if I had, like, a band, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's, like, set up for, like, something that I'm trying to do.
It's a really small stage, and mm-hmm. it's really, like, everybody's on top of you.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Redwood, I think, is more set up for what you kind of do. And probably there's... better places than that. Something with more of a stage where you can really be elevated and
Harvard and Stone is a good example.
Yeah.
I loved playing Harvard and Stone.
Right.
Yeah. Have you played Bar Sinister or Club Decades?
I have not. I would love to play Bar Sinister or Club Decades.
Well, we'll see if we can make that happen.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see. Because I think you fit right in. Now, how goth are you? Let's ask that.
How goth
are you? Let's just cut to the chase.
I've never really identified as like...
Well, you got like these Cleopatra eyes going on, but no eyeliner. I was like, this is a girl I can see an eyeliner.
I'm sure you've rocked some eyeliner in your time.
I don't wear makeup, like, you know, just in the day-to-day. I don't wear...
Well, you don't need to.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, I have to do that because I can't levitate a ring on your finger.
But, how goth am I? I don't...
Because there's a twinge of influence.
There is. Like, mm-hmm. I really like industrial music a lot.
Right.
And I really appreciate, like... The gothic like aesthetic,
mm-hmm. and also you like the myth of Hades and Persephone.
And I do I do tend to gravitate towards like the darker, like more symbolic parts of the world or of the mind.
Right.
And goth really like lends itself well to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that like I am in that realm, but
and I saw the people that came to see you
mm-hmm.
was a very goth crowd.
Yeah, I'd say
from what
it's
I
like,
saw. I mean, not exclusively, but
I saw,
not only did I see Micah, mm-hmm. but I saw a lot of like people I knew from the goth scene there.
Oh, really?
A few people, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I like.
So you're goth adjacent.
I guess I'm goth adjacent.
That's a cool title.
Yeah, it's a cool title.
We should use that.
We got so many album titles for you, but I mean, would you say that's accurate? That's one of your influences, but that's not your only influence.
Yeah. I would say that's accurate. It's, I am like greatly influenced by like that culture, but I have other influences too. Like Tom Waits, I wouldn't really call him goth, but he's like a huge influence.
Sure. But that's also he's kind of goth adjacent too.
He's like,
because he's got a darkness.
I feel like if a surrealist painting could be a person,
mm-hmm.
it would be Tom Waits. He's, right. he's so strange and such a great storyteller.
Right.
I love everything.
I gotta get back into him because I've never really gotten into him, mm-hmm. and every time I was like. I like a song. Let me dive into an album, and I never stick with it.
Oh yeah,
Nick Cave I stick with, but
yeah, for Nick Cave is more like on the goth side.
It's not just the goth side. It's just I don't know. It's the voice and the inflection. I think he's a great songwriter, but and I think he's a really good actor, but I can't get past the that kind of
that's the thing for some.
Just
because
it's not his real voice. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sort of is, but he's putting it on a little bit.
I don't know. I really enjoy the music that he writes.
How do you feel about Moby?
Moby?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a ton of Moby. I know, like, the radio stuff that Moby did, and I enjoyed it.
Right.
I had a friend, and we used to listen to Moby, like, a lot, and he's got some pretty good riffs.
Oh. Yeah, he's, like, he's...
There's a movie. I don't know if you ever saw it. It's called Southland Tales.
I haven't seen it. I've heard of it. I haven't seen it, though.
It's definitely worth a watch. But he created this thing in there called Memory Gospel. It's just so beautiful.
Yeah, we're just doing the magic of trying to get some money in my pocket. But I was excited about this sponsor. I had to jump on this when I saw it. And I'm looking forward to getting samples of this. Tactical Soap.
I saw that it has pheromones?
Yes. Now, Is there anything more attractive to you than a great smelling guy?
I think it's important to smell good.
You have to smell good.
Yeah.
And if you smell good and you have pheromones,
well, that can only help.
That can only help. Get tactical soap. They have soaps, they have lotions, they have colognes infused with pheromones, so it will drive the women crazy. And if you go to the link at our site on the podcast sites or on YouTube, it'll take you right to where you can get your own tactical soap. Once again, very affordable. I'm looking forward to trying it myself.
Let me know how it goes.
Yeah.
Find some of the stuff that isn't the mainstream. I think you might really like it.
Okay, right. Cool. I'll have to check that out. I did see something on YouTube that Moby did where it was like how to write a song and like...
Well, Moby, I'll tell you what about Moby, and I didn't think we'd be talking about Moby tonight, but he is very prolific, and he has a website where you can use unreleased songs or other songs of his and license them for your videos.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow. And I've used that a few times.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And he just released a punk rock vegan movie. And
He's very vegan.
But, and also he, he's kind of... shadow band right now because he wrote a biography that said that he went out with Natalie Portman, but he didn't really. I'm a big fan of Moby. So yeah, I tried to shut down the Moby bit thing because I want to get back to the magic now. But electronic bands like, what electronic bands are you influenced by? Or you don't really listen to that, but that's what you come out with? Are you like into Kraftwerk and Devo and all that stuff?
I do like Kraftwerk and Devo, yeah. Yeah. I also love, have you heard, there's this band called Senor Coconut?
I don't know Senor Coconut.
And it's Kraftwerk covers, but it's all in
Jamaican
like type. Samba music.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
It's so cool.
Because I'm trying to think of some other obscure electronic artists that I'm trying to think, you know, even some techno stuff like Chemical Brothers and like
I'm not really huge into techno. I do like some of like the Prodigy stuff.
Prodigy.
There's a French minimalist synth pop band that I really like called, I think it's pronounced Do.
Okay.
UX.
Right. No, I've heard of them. Yeah.
I really like them a lot. I've been listening to them quite a bit.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to see where your influences are. And also, you know, like.
And I'm not telling you this because I'm telling you this only because duh means two in French.
Duh. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So that you just remember duh.
Duh.
Like duh.
All right. Thank you so much.
No problem. I took French in high school and I remember some of it, but not much.
I appreciate it because I definitely never took French.
There's Nicole humble bragging again. And
I had to take it for 2 years.
Don't tell Brett Persephone any of that. Anyway, Micah, how did you get on Penn & Teller's Fool Me?
Do we have time?
Yes, we do. We got time.
All right, I'll try to make this fast. Yes. So,
you got some tricks, then we can.
Dance, monkey boy, dance.
Okay, no.
So, I'll try to make this fast. Many of your listeners may be familiar with this place called the Magic Castle, where you were kind enough to see my Night of the Raven.
I love the Magic Castle, and if you can get the microphone again, a little closer.
Oh, sorry. Hello.
Yeah. No, that's okay. I can hear you, but I'm just saying. So Magic Castle. So you performed at Magic Castle. Did he recruit? Is that what happens?
Okay. So the Magic Castle is known for two things. One, the magic, and two, their inability to communicate. It's just like dating. You probably know what I'm talking about,
right.
Mark.
Well, you saw that firsthand.
Yeah, no kidding. So one day, out of the blue, I get an email from the Magic Castle, and it says, please submit your act to Penn & Teller Fool Us to the following email address. That was it. Mm-hmm. I had no idea where this email came from. I had no idea that this email address even existed. I didn't ask for
it. It was Houdini.
Right, yeah, no kidding. So I thought the email was accidentally sent to me and meant for someone else, and I said so. And I typed, thank you for this, but I'm very confused. There's no context. Did you intend to send this to someone else? And I hit send. And they replied, the Magic Castle, and they said, please submit all questions to the aforementioned email already included in the previous. Okay. So now I got this.
That jives with what people have told me about the Magic Castle management.
Yes, and dating.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, exactly. So now I have this email address I didn't even know existed moments ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have an opportunity to submit to Penn & Teller Fool Us. I had no idea that such an opportunity even existed, not for someone like me. So
oh, stop it.
Oh, thank you, Dark Mark. But yeah, I mean, again, it came out of nowhere.
Right.
So it's to this day, it takes me by surprise. So I remember I was about to hit send on the on my video that I was about to send to this email address. And just as I was hitting send, I was thinking about all my influences, like the Magic Castle, like Houdini. I thought about this magician that I used to watch when I was a kid. He was on TV. He was named the Great Tom Sony. And he was a huge influence on me. You were asking me about this earlier, Nicole. He had an assistant who was much smarter than he was. So he would always stumble and things would always go wrong. She would always save the day. And it was a big inspiration for me because as Dread Persephone, Persephone knows, a lot of my magic is making the volunteer the magician. So this was a big influence. So I just thought about the things that brought me to this moment. I hit send, and a few days later, I got an email from the casting director from Penn & Teller Fool Us, and he said, "How did you do it?" And, yeah, and this said two things to me. One, the casting director was interested in my act, and two, he wanted to make sure that I could replicate it in front of Penn & Teller Fool Us, because they have very specific rules, like you can't have a stooge, you can't do this, you can't do that.
So you and Allison Hannigan did not rehearse.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, and I'll get to that in a minute. But and it was sent from the great Tom Sony, my childhood hero.
Wow.
The guy I used to watch when I was on TV. He was now the casting director for Penn & Teller Fool Us, and he was the guy asking me, "How did you do it?" And I'm freaking the hell out.
That's amazing.
I know. And I said, "Oh my God, great Tom Sony, I love you." And, you know, I'm fangirling through this email. And I hammer out the various steps, and I hit send. And a few days later, the great Tom Sony dies.
Oh my God.
And I tell this story, and people say to me, "Wow, your card trick killed the great Tom." And I'm like, "No, no." And I get to be the dick who says things like, "No, it was his time. He had to go." I get to be that jerk.
Right.
So he dies, and of course, I don't hear from them again.
I'm so glad like he got to hear your praise before he died. Like,
thank you. Me, I'm glad I got to connect with him in this bizarre, random way.
Yeah.
Some would say it's magic.
Well said. Yes, I mean that's
exactly, it's a magical thing.
It was miraculous to me.
Which is called synchronicity.
Yes, right. As do the police, the good police. Yes.
Yeah, it's the sting. Yeah,
the sting. Yeah, exactly. So so I'm heartbroken, but I still have this email address that I can't explain why I had it in the first place.
Right.
Another season goes by. I send it again. Another season goes by. I send it again. Another season goes by. Third time's the charm. The new casting director writes me back and says, "How did you do it?"
Wow.
So my childhood hero, the great Tom Sony, apparently died with my secret. So I wrote back, "Okay, this is what, as I told the great Tom Sony, please don't die, but this is what I told the great Tom Sony," and I sent it off, and they put me on a plane, and they put me on the episode, and that's how I got on Penn & Teller Fool Us.
Wow. So that's how, you have to fool the casting director to get on the show.
Right, or at the very least, wildly entertain them.
Right.
Because they even say to you in the beginning, "You're not going to fool Penn and Teller. It's like winning the lottery."
Right.
And some people have.
And as I mentioned before, they are very anti-magic. They want to explain everything. Well, that's, everything.
Well, that's their shtick. That's always been their shtick.
Yeah.
Right, it is. But,
and they're very nice, too.
But yeah, it's the two sides of the coin, like Houdini.
Yeah.
He wanted to expose it all, but he wanted to expose it all because he hoped that there was some truth to it.
Yeah.
Penn and Teller are very similar. As you say, they hate magic with a K.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're incredibly nice, incredibly supportive. And when you sign,
now, how much interaction did you have with them?
That was it.
That was it. Just what's on the air.
I got.
They never said hi backstage. Nothing. You just
no. You get one rehearsal with a Willow stump double.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Kind of look like you. Yeah.
Oh wow.
And she was super cool, much like you.
Oh, thank you.
You get one rehearsal on the stage with a Willow stunt double.
Well, that's better than Spike.
Right, yeah, right, no kidding.
Yeah.
And then when you're done...
That's a Buffy joke for some people.
Yes. Buffy reference. So when you're done, they say, "Cut, okay." And they bring in Penn & Teller. Penn & Teller sit down.
Right.
Willow shows up, sits in the stunt double's chair, and you get one shot. And that's how you meet Penn & Teller. And they even say in the contract, Penn & Teller will say something nice, what you were saying. They will say something positive about your act, whether you fool them or not.
Right.
And that's exactly what they did. And I was very grateful.
Which is weird, because I've seen them not be as positive as they were for you.
Yeah, well, they Penn especially was just while he was explaining.
Well, you know, Peller doesn't talk, so it's hard to gauge.
Peller doesn't talk, but as you know, they confer with each other.
No, yeah. I mean, he really talks, but yes.
Right, he does. And then, but then Penn is the spokesperson.
Right.
And even while Penn was
talking. And it's weird because Penn is skinnier than Peller now.
Yeah, super skinny. Vegan. Yeah, yeah, he went Moby on us.
Yes.
Callback. So, so while he was explaining my own trick to me, he was also incredibly complimentary. And I'll always remember that.
But it seemed genuine. I mean, it's, I've seen him like kind of like, okay. But yeah, he wasn't like that with you.
He was
like,
nice when I met him.
Yeah, and he put in the word miracle when he described my, which now is on my website.
And I also got to mention the fact that he took the time to meet us. That's always nice when someone that has a lot, they don't have a lot of time, their lives are very controlled. If a celebrity takes the time to actually like meet you and be like hi and then like chat with you for like 5 minutes, it's pretty cool.
It's huge because they're exhausted, but they will still come out from behind the curtains.
Mm-hmm.
And they will talk to almost anybody who wants to talk to them.
Right.
After their own shows.
Yeah.
After my performance, they were whisked away by security.
Oh, right. I was very fortunate to be in a VIP show, so I got to meet them.
Yeah.
It was in Vegas, and it was really cool, and I'll remember it like forever. Like it was such a good show.
There are some celebrities.
Not a Nicole Humber brag.
Yeah, right? there are some celebrities like, you know, Dread Persephone. You never know if they're going to talk to their fans or not. You wait around. You don't know.
Right.
You don't know. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. You don't know.
Did you mingle with the fans afterwards, Dread Persephone?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I don't know.
That's like one of the best parts of it. You get to connect with people. That's one of the reasons that I think that's one of the things that makes performing fun is when you feel connected.
Oh yeah,
I think it's so cute you guys met in that way because I also met Mark in a similar situation. We opened for the band Charlie.
Many of Odd Nature.
That was the night me and Mark met. Is he was the MC for Many of Odd Nature, and I was the baby band that went on first. It was it was an Aleister Crowley folklore band.
I'm not kidding. I love this. Tell us more about.
Yeah, you might have to get the band back together.
I can't. David died.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well,
Charlie was the one that told me that David had died, and he had died on Christmas, and then Charlie died, and it was very sad, and we missed Charlie.
We miss them both. But anyway, thanks for bringing down the show. Anyway, so
we can give them a moment.
Dred, before I did want to say, because I really love your new video and your new song.
Thank you.
Yeah, tell us all about that.
We sort of just made it, me and my friend Blake, He's a really great friend of mine.
And it's called Lighthouse? Am I have that wrong? Or I have that absolutely wrong.
The song is called Hologram.
Hologram. What am I saying, Lighthouse? It was Hologram. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where I got Lighthouse from. Hologram is the song, and it's very good. And the video with the shadows.
Yeah, so it's it was shot by my friend Blake at this place in Orange County that has these really great lights that just kind of shoot up. Mm-hmm. And you can do all this really cool shadow work there, and we just shot it on a whim. We were there. We went to there's like a museum nearby. We went to the museum. I guess we were like inspired or something.
Yeah.
It was just very like, we're doing this. It's happening now. And then we put the video together.
It's great because what's weird about it, and this may be magical, and I don't know if this was if this was done in post or this is just a weird thing. There were a couple times in the video where the shadow doesn't quite match up. It's a little creepy.
Oh, really?
Have you noticed that?
No, I haven't noticed that.
I'll have to watch it again.
I mean, most of it, I mean, it's just the way they shot it, but there's some, like, Bram Stoker Dracula sort of stuff going on. No, that's what I was really, I had to watch it, like, three times, wait a second, what's going on?
I think, like, sometimes the spirit's just kind of like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, and so this, you've got that song out now
on all
streaming sites.
It's
on Apple Music because
most of my music is on SoundCloud right now.
Right,
but I am starting to put it out onto all the streaming platforms.
And so, is there?
How do you get it on Spotify? Is it easy?
You just sign up. There's like a third party. If you're an independent artist and you don't have a label, you sign up through like a third party.
CD Baby or something like that. Because my stuff's on all streaming. So I'm glad somebody's streaming it.
I tell people to watch. I actually try to boost our Spotify views specifically.
Oh, no. My comedy albums are on.
Okay.
The ones that you haven't listened to because you didn't know they were on there. But anyway, but that's great. So you got more music on the way. Do you have other songs that are coming out?
Yeah, so I've been sort of experimenting a lot with like analog
Right.
Writing, like, most of the stuff I write is like electronic. It's all in like it's all in my DAW.
Right.
In Logic.
Right.
But I've been exploring more like hardware stuff, so I'm kind of moving in that direction now, I think. And I should have something out pretty soon.
Oh, good. Oh, man. Well, geez, where does the time go? This has been so much fun.
Yeah.
But I got a couple more questions to ask Micah.
I was young.
That wasn't the first time you were on the CW. At Penn and Teller, because you.
This is gonna be good.
You did two episodes as quote unquote, and I'm going by IMDb, buffoon on Dawson's Creek.
Buffoon number one.
Tell the story, Micah.
Buffoon number one.
How did you get to be a buffoon on Dawson's Creek?
Oh man, I was auditioning for years. I used to be an actor and just auditioning for years.
Well, you still are. I mean,
Well, that's one of the reasons why I do the show that you were kind enough to come see. So
right.
I can still act.
You MC, you act, you do all sorts.
Yeah, and I write stuff. But yeah, I used to really pursue it like a lot of actors out here. And I was auditioning all the time and never getting any parts until finally there was a part on Dawson's Creek. And the description was guy who may have gone to college. That was the entire description. Guy who may have gone to college. And once again, the casting director said, I wasn't right for the part. For the guy
who might have
gone to college.
Did you look too educated or what?
I did go, or not educated enough. Yeah. I don't know. Like I was some country hick or something. I don't know. So
some would say buffoonish.
A bit buffoonish. So, yeah. So I had struck out on so many auditions. At this point, even my agent went nuts and said, he is a guy. And he went to college. And she actually fought for me on this hill that, when the casting directors came back and said, no, Micah's not right for this part. He's all wrong. He's all right. No, he's a guy. Went to college. So she forced them to let me audition again, and they had to admit that I might be a guy who may have gone to college. They had to admit this. And so I got the part, as you know, of buffoon number one. Aww. And I got yes. That's and awesome. Yeah, thank you.
I didn't know these were buffoons that might have gone to college.
Right. Who knows? So I got buffoon number one on this episode, and then they brought me back.
Oh.
Technically a recurring character.
Yes, you're
on Dawson's Creek.
On Dawson's Creek as buffoon number one. And it was after I scored my recurring character, which is technically two episodes or more. Mm-hmm. I technically made recurring character. That's when they announced they were canceling Dawson's Creek.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Who knows what buffoon number one could have gone on to be?
I know. He could have gone to college or something.
Spinoff.
Buffoon number one.
Yes. Buffoon's Creek.
Buffoon's Creek.
Yes.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I was technically a recurring character on Dawson's Creek.
And you know, because we talked to Larry Hankin. Who played Mr. Heckles on Friends.
Oh my God, yeah.
If you get, was it five?
It was five or six. Yeah.
Then they pay you more.
Right.
So
yeah. They cut him off right after.
Yeah, yeah. His character died right before he got there.
How convenient.
Yes.
Yeah, very convenient.
Yeah.
I had a friend
on Glee who was a bully on Glee. He wasn't even one of the
Not singers. A buffoon. Like Glee,
Not
a bully.
Buffoon.
A bully.
A bully. Yeah. Well, he was kind of buffoonish, but he was a bully. And one of the songs on the episode hit number one, like on iTunes.
Oh, wow.
So he would go to the mailbox and receive these checks in the mail for thousands of dollars
for a
song he had nothing to do with. Because he had one line where he was a buffoon.
What about your residuals from Dawson's Creek? Were they thousands of dollars? Or do you still get them?
Well, apparently, I didn't have a college degree, so I couldn't make the money on the pay scale. No, I got two episodes, and that's all I got.
But, you
know, my agent still gets checks for, like, 3 cents every other decade.
So he gets a third of a penny. And
and now I can finally get that surgery.
Would you ever want to write a book? Because I get $6 for every sale.
Yeah, right. No kidding.
Here's the other question I have. How long did it take you to get the signature look? Because you got the signature look with the vest.
Oh,
Yes,
the spats.
The spats, yes.
And I know coming up with my look, which is
you
not
look
much
great.
Of a look. Well, thank you, but you know,
you look great.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. We all look great.
We all look great.
We all look great. Well, I can't wait for the selfie of the four of us. But how long did it take you to come up with this look? Because every musician's got to have their signature look, and you have a signature look.
Well, the vest, two reasons. One, I need more pockets. Magicians need more pockets.
Yes, you do.
Yes, to hide shit. And
for levitation.
For levitation, yes.
That's what the spats are for.
That's what the spats are. Right, to levitate the spats. Yeah, it's very hard to walk, but it's worth it because it gets the ladies. Right. It gets the ladies. And the other thing is the tuxedo vest is backless because I can sweat like a pig under the lights on stage. Mm. So it was more out of necessity than anything else. Yeah.
And it took did it take a few years or you just figured that out right away?
It took some time, but then I started buying more of these vests.
Right.
So now it's
okay. You got a big vest collection?
Yeah, I got a few.
So it's funny because I've now lost weight. I actually fit in a vest now. I didn't fit in a vest for years.
Yes.
You're gonna be a vest
for
guy.
Years.
40 pounds? Is that correct?
So far.
Damn.
But we'll see. But you've lost a lot of weight.
Yeah. Well, I want to be more like you.
No, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You lost weight way before I did. And the last thing, I would say your specialty, although you do the, you know, the your grand finale is the straitjacket, is really close-up magic.
I do a lot of that, yeah.
And why that?
So many reasons. One, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you see these guys do these big, like, you know, they do the main stage at the Magic Castle, they got the fireworks and all this other stuff. Do you look at that like, oh, come on, that's hokey, or...
No, I mean, I admire it.
Right.
I'm a little bitter.
But it's
I'm
not like, your thing.
Yeah, well, I'm like, how did you afford that? You know what I mean? And then there's always some hot chick in a bikini. You got to afford that. Got to pay that dancer.
I was at the Magic Castle. I saw some guy. I forget the guy's name. And he's like, he's a very famous guy. Very goth. And I guess one of the guys from the Crystal Method did his music, and the guy was there, and it was
oh my God.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Expensive show. Wow.
Yeah.
So I was like, but and it was cool. I mean, it was cool as a spectacle. But as far as magic, you're like, oh, come on. It, you know, like it's smoke mirrors and lights. I see that. But close up, you can't hide it.
That's true. You can't hide it.
I don't know who did it, but they drew a bowling ball, and then a bowling ball fell out. And it was amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
oh,
I know exactly
when we're there.
What you're talking about. That's a classic.
That got me. Like that, and that seems very cheap to replicate, in my opinion.
Bowling balls aren't that cheap, but but cards are cheap.
Right, you can get them in any gas station, drugstore,
99-cent store.
99-cent store.
Right.
And they're 99 cents.
Slurpee makes playing cards now. I don't know.
Are you serious?
I have some.
Wait a second.
You have Slurpee cards?
Yeah, I do.
Are they delicious?
I don't know. I saw them at 7-Eleven. So when you said at any convenience store, well, 7-Eleven is now selling their own bicycle brand Slurpee cards.
How are the Slurpee cards?
They're delicious.
Yeah,
I knew it. They sound delicious.
They are delicious.
Yeah, a little fattening, but delicious.
But where do you get the oversized cards like you used on Penn & Teller? And you have to have oversized cards.
Right. So for Penn & Teller, because I knew I was going to be so far away, I had to get the what they call jumbo cards. So it was technically a close-up act, but using larger props to make sure that...
For the television audience.
Exactly.
And
exactly. Yeah.
So where do you get those? Just magic stores?
I got a guy.
You got a guy.
I got a guy.
You can hook us up with giant cards.
I can hook you up with some. I got a guy.
Right. What was the first trick you ever did?
Oh my God. There's a little trick called the ball and vase. Have you ever seen this?
Yes.
It's in like every magic kit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was my first one.
So you got like a magic kit when you were a kid?
Oh yeah. Definitely.
I'm terrible at magic, but I was able to do the cup disappearing under a napkin trick.
That's a classic.
It's a classic.
I would like to see you do that.
I can't right now.
Right.
Wait. You got a napkin? We got cups right here.
I know. We got a cup.
You got a cup? Yeah.
Yep.
I know. It's okay.
Before it's a classic.
It is a classic.
I learned it from Saturday morning cartoons.
I'm not
right.
joking.
Yes. Like Super Friends would teach you a magic trick.
I'm going to reveal the secret. That's what I'll do. So I would take this cup, right? Like, we'll use this cup.
Okay.
And I would flip it over, and I just made a mess. And then I would put...
Okay.
Oh, you do have the props.
I don't have a... It's not big enough.
Right.
I'd put that over that, and it would cover it.
Right.
And then I would do something like this, and then
just kick the whole thing in your.
It's just a close up of your crotch.
Yeah.
But this would stay there and go flat if I was really good at it. But instead, it's gonna clean up the mess.
Yeah, nice.
That's how a maid would do it.
But
that is a classic trick.
Yes.
Just like the ball on base. So
and,
I know what you're talking about.
I loved how you did it.
Thank you.
Yes.
But you have to do that. You have to like move it into your lap so the cup disappears, and then you have the napkin and you reveal it.
And now I have to kill you.
Do you think Nicole has a future in magic?
Definitely.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
Now,
That really was cool.
Do you have any advice? I thought you'd be doing tricks. She's doing
tricks. Yeah, I know.
Right? Do you have any advice for any aspiring magicians?
Don't do it? No, it's
that's my advice to every aspiring comic.
Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about, man. You know how
it's so Mark texts me that Tom Brady wants to be a comedian. A comedian now.
Oh. No. That was a news story that somebody repurposed
Mark
for.
Mark tells me that everyone wants to be a comedian, and even Tom Brady wants to be a comedian.
No, Tom Brady's going to be on a roast. And somebody, somebody's like, "Oh, he's going to do comedy because everybody does comedy. Like all these wrestlers do comedy, all these other people." So,
For a second there, I was feeling your pain.
No, but that's what the headline was. Tom Brady's about to do comedy.
Exactly, and Mark is so right. Everybody wants to be a comedian or a magician,
right?
Or a musician,
or a rock star.
Everybody wants to be a rock star or an actor,
right?
Yeah,
but everybody wants the spotlight on them.
Yeah.
Yes,
right. Everybody wants to be a DJ,
right? Yeah. Have you ever DJed?
No, I've never DJed.
Would you?
I'd be interested in learning how to do it. It seems like fun.
Yeah.
But I've never tried it.
Make sure you know what you're doing, or you embarrass yourself horribly. I was terrible. I was the worst DJ ever.
Okay, well. Oh, you DJed?
Very badly. I don't even want to talk about it.
Erin, you've been a delight.
Oh, thank you.
We would love to have you back.
Yeah.
And we would love, hopefully, we can get some sort of a live thing, and hopefully we can perform together
at
some
point.
I'm trying to get some stuff together, but tell everybody how they can get your music, any live shows you got coming up, anything you want to promote, and
tell
all of your social
media. See you again. I will be performing at Mi Vida Loca Bar in I think it's in Orange on the 19th.
Okay.
And you can find my music on SoundCloud/ Dread Persephone or on all the streaming platforms.
Right. Will you be closer than Orange County again so I can come see you?
Oh, yeah. I mostly play in Los Angeles, but I do live in Orange County.
No, Orange County's good.
Down there sometimes.
So, yeah.
Well, maybe I'll give you a ride to her show.
Oh, that'd be great if you guys came. Yeah.
I would come. I would totally come.
And you're Dread Persephone on all social media. Mm-hmm. And
Dread Persephone Music on Instagram.
Music. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Dread Persephone UK has to change their name to Dread Persephone.
Damn right.
UK,
yeah.
So.
Anyway, so, and Micah, you've got so much going on. I was on your website, and there's so many things that people can hire you for. Private parties, shows, all this stuff. You're an MC. Tell our audience all you got going on and how they can find you and how you can entertain them.
Ah, thank you. Well, come to this podcast. Listen to this podcast. Support this podcast.
Right.
Yes. And anybody who pays me.
Yes.
Those are the people who can see me.
Okay.
Yeah. And maybe one day open for Dread Persephone again, because that was super
cool. Well, I would love to do a show with the three of us at some
That'd
point.
That'd be fantastic.
Because I know you've been doing flappers a lot.
Yeah, whenever they let me, yeah.
Next time I have a flapper show, if you're available, we're doing it.
Oh, my God.
I'd be honored, which may be in April. And, hopefully we'll... I'll find a new CIA type venue, and we can get the music and comedy and sideshow and all that stuff.
I played there. I love CIA.
Oh, I used to do
so
shows there every
month. I was so sad when they told me they're not CIA anymore. I was so sad.
Right. Yeah. Well, they it closed down, and Carl moved to Vegas.
Yeah.
So are they reopening it at some point?
No, I reached out to him because I played there before, and I'm like, hey, I want to play again. And he was like, we're not there anymore. He's like, but there's big things in the works. But then I never heard back about.
Well, I think he's opening something up in Vegas. So
Vegas is where a lot of people
maybe
have
we'll have to do it.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
CIA was so cool.
So if somebody wants to hire you for now, you do private parties. You do you're at the Magic Castle all the time.
Whenever they let me, yeah, man.
Yeah, and you do all sorts of things, and you host a lot of burlesque shows and all this stuff. So if people want to get a hold of you. They go to micahthemagician.com. Is that where it is?
You're a good pimp. That is my website. Yeah,
yes,
and that's
I'm pimping
I'm,
you.
You are, yes. And that's where I'm on Instagram as well.
Yes, this is my number one male prostitute, Micah.
And, out of all your male
Fred
prostitutes.
Fred Garvin, Micah Cover, male prostitute. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. They have no idea what we're talking about. That's an old Saturday Night Live thing that Dan Aykroyd did. So, yes, and you're all over the place, and Micah. So great. Like I said, you met on the show, and we've become friends, and we see each other all the time. And I love hanging out with you. And you're always, and Erin, you'll back me up on this. Any room he enters just gets brightened up just by his presence.
Oh,
right?
Dude, thank you, man.
Right.
That means a lot.
Which counteracts me, because every room I walk into, I'm darkened by my presence. But that's okay. And Nicole,
woo!
You were talking about your book.
I am. Yeah, my book Slow Burn is actually selling. So if you want to help me,
you're actually making money off
I'm
your
making
book.
Making money off my book. It's great. So wow. if you
there's
would like
one
to
artist in the
me,
studio of four that's making money off their art.
I looked at the numbers. I've been making money. It's successful. It's a successful poetry book. So if you think you want to read some good poetry, go to Nicole Six on Lulu.com, LULU.com.
Right.
Or find me on Instagram at Nicole Six Books, or on Facebook as Nicole H Six.
You realize that you threw out so many more things than Micah or Aaron.
It's what I throw out every show, Mark.
And one last thing, Nicole.
Yes.
What's a line that you wrote that you can't believe you wrote?
Oh, I can't do that right now.
Okay.
That's a good line. That's a good line.
I like that one. And I'm Goth Comedian on all social media. Ooh. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.